Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and Happy New Year from the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin, how's it going?
It's going pretty well here. Happy New Year to you and to your family. I can't believe we're already in the seventh day of the new year. I swear, the holidays just make everything fly by, don't they?
This year's flying by, man. Only 350 some odd left to go. So tell me, it'll be spring break before you know it.
I know. What's been going on with you? Because you went somewhere for the holidays, right? So I know we've been off the last couple weeks here.
Yeah, we've been off. Had a full family schedule there. A lot of family travel. This time went to the East Coast and not Minnesota this time, but went to the Carolinas and saw a lot of family out there. And it's always good to visit. And then got stranded coming back. Got stranded in Charlotte on the 26th. There was that storm here and burned up about 2 days trying to get back. American Airlines.
It was just
up in smoke. So I was doing anger management, on-site anger management, people who were homicidal. So
how appropriate.
I know, man. Like, oh yeah, people just, and then you stand this long line only to find out they're going to book you on a flight the next day at like noon. And then you say, well, is there a hotel voucher? Like, no, sir, we don't give out hotels for acts of nature. So people were just, I mean, you know, people who were kind of strapped for funds, man, just slept in the airport, man, just like, you know, old school Peace Corps type of stuff, man, waiting on that flight to South America, to the Andes. But man, it's just, whoo, we finally got back and started working. And then, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, that's right. The Dallas Cowboys went in their game, Justin. We're going to go all the way. We're going all the way.
Oh, man.
Super Bowl, maybe.
So, maybe. I tell you what, you know, and real quick story on I had my own American Airlines experience as well. And then I do want to make sure that we talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, because if there's anything more relevant to Concierge Coaches, the Dallas Cowboys is I had the first experience ever where I had a window seat and I didn't have a window. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I literally, to the left of me was just straight airplane wall.
Oh, right.
Have you ever had that happen before?
Yeah, I think I've had been up on the bulkhead there a couple times in my life, in my millennial years. I just had that millennial ticket, man.
Yeah, anyway. Shit. I tell you what, you know, nothing more fucking claustrophobic than that, though. You know, like not only can I not see where I am, but I'm crammed in this little ass air. You know, well, everything's little now, and in coach, and then no window. At least the window makes you feel like you kind of have some breathing space. I don't know. For me, it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you're crammed in there with Naomi, right? I mean, she's in the middle seat.
Yeah, but she is. She is, but what you don't understand is she uses this as her opportunity to take a nap on me. So,
well, you know, yeah,
it's all good fun though.
Yeah, I'm sure you. Yeah, there's probably somebody singing the blues for you. No, man, it's all good. Yeah, very, very. No, it's inconvenient and man, I thought when you're talking about like they had like a little faux window, like somebody drew something with a highlighter, and then there's.
That would have been better than what I had. I would have taken that. Like, shit.
Mr. Nimmergood, would you volunteer our customers to get out the window in case of an emergency? Oh, absolutely. May I ask you the questions, you know? Will you be willing and able to help somebody go out this non-window?
Yeah, sure. I'll kick it in, no problem.
It's just funny in my mind, yeah. But awesome.
Yeah. Well,
at least you made it home safe, right? So how you start is how you finish. You made it home, made it back.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool seeing the family there in Texas and South Lake.
Oh, I
know. Also known as Pleasantville. That place has not changed a damn bit.
Yeah, right.
You got all the shops. I mean, the shops and storefronts might change a little, but it was good to be back. And like you said, we had some football this weekend, right? Which, you know what, I don't know about you, Bruce, but I always love, you know, putting my coaching hat on. You know, you put in, and there was a couple of them, so to tie it into coaching, right? Couple calls this weekend that I think were questionable, right? I don't know if you caught any of the Ravens game. They kept Lamar Jackson in there in the second half. I think he had like 17 yards pass, like a whopping 17 yards passing in the first half. And you got a Super Bowl MVP sitting right in the pine all game. That was kind of an interesting one. You know, and then the kicker in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Epic.
And then Pete Carroll, he had his own ones to make, too, against the Cowboys. You know, with the Sebastian Janikowski with the groin pull. Wow, you know.
Right. But that's just – well, in the groin – wasn't it a hamstring?
Or a hamstring, I'm sorry. Yeah, hamstring.
Now, I would have known it was a groin pull. I'm always super into groin pulls. But, yeah, I get really empathetic on the groin pulls, this hamstring. Like, dude, get over it. You know, drop a few pounds. That was a big boy, wasn't he, for being a kicker?
Yeah, he's got to be pushing 200, 220 for a kicker. That's
I am 205 right now, my fat Christmas self, bro. There's no freaking way, dude. That guy is not, anyway, a solid 215, 220.
Look at those tree trunk legs. He has to be.
Come on. Yeah. I'm 205 over here. Anyway, not that I'm proud of that. Probably shouldn't be. But anyway, yeah. So, yes, those are some unfortunate incidences there. And had I been a gambler, I would have just made out on the, you know, Texas beating Georgia. And, of course, the Cowboys nudging out Seattle. I really felt convicted about those wins, and obviously way back New Year's, Texas A&M beating NC State, but they're not even ranked. I don't even know why the hell we were in that bowl with an unranked team, but go figure. Can't have
right.
But even though my old rivals, the Horns, but they did well for themselves. And
you gotta at least root for the home state
team, in a way. And I was, I did well on my predictions locally. So, so it's going to be interesting to see how the playoffs go. And we have a game. Is there a game tonight?
There is a game tonight. A little game tonight, you know, NCAA national championship tonight, Alabama and Clemson face off for what is that for? I got Bama on this one, you know. I think they're just I don't know how to bet against Saban. That guy just knows how to coach a pristine team, you know, which is funny because we watched, old classic football movie, Remember the Titans, last night, and something about Denzel as the coach in that movie reminds me of Saban, you know, who's the current coach of Alabama. Just hard nose, gritty, expects perfection, and you know it shows in big games. You know, in big games like that, when you expect perfection all year long and all the preparatory leading up to it, yeah, they might not be perfect tonight. Obviously, they won't be, but will they perform better, you know, than the other team? And
yeah,
I don't know. So that's my prediction anyway. And I think the quarterback from Clemson's a little bit younger from what I remember, although I don't know too much about them. So we'll see. It should be interesting, though.
I think it'll be a good fight. I do think it's going to be a good game, you know, if I had some spread. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, the tide's going to roll. So they're gonna get it. But so that'll be a fun game to tune in on. For sure. So, and then off to 2019, man, off to the work. So, well, I'm going to start with you this time because you said some interesting things are happening on your end in your role
yeah.
in the startup And first of all, you know, for our listeners, I know someone will remember, but now you're kind of a, like you said, you're kind of a free agent for this startup. Now you, from what I remember, also you were helping the sales force, right? You were kind of focused on sales, being a sales revenue.
Well, yeah,
what was, so go ahead, catch us up with that. Yeah.
Well, okay. So just you know, back it up, right? Like the whole genesis of this, I guess, project, we'll call it, really, and it's much more than that now, was, you know, Pepperdine alumni and I connecting about his vision and strategy 3-5 years down the road, led to conversation about sales team and channel team build out, which is basically just partnership teams. Think of it as that. And I've come on board as a, not W-2, but 1099, as the chief revenue officer. So yes, it's pretty full-time hours and all that, but it's, you use the word or the term, you know, gun for hire, which it kind of is, right? Because, you know, as a 1099, you're contracted. You're not per se an employee. And I've always designed it that way for several reasons, which I won't get into today. But that's just been an absolute amazing project and engagement thus far. And it's interesting because it started back in, unofficially in end of July, let's call it August, right? It took me about a month to kind of just feel my way around. And then we had the sales team onboarded by the second month. So we've had a sales team now onboarded for about 4 months, and we're going into 2019, right? So they've had some time, some feet under time under their belt, right, to build pipeline and do all the normal sales activities, if you will. And now we're looking ahead, and we have this big hairy goal for 2019 that I'm obviously trying to lead, you know, this team to achieve, which is driving another, you know, couple $1 million in top line revenue for the company. And it's interesting, right, when you're dealing with smaller companies and startup-like environments, you know, every little dollar that they spend, it's just so precious, right? And I get it, right? Rightfully so, it is. But it's the old adage, you got to spend money to make money. I don't really necessarily prescribe to that. I actually am more of a fan of, you've got to invest money strategically in the right initiatives that are going to drive your key imperatives. That's more how I... you know, that's the philosophy I subscribe to. So it's taken me a while to break down some of those, you know, historical barriers. And let's be honest, from a coaching perspective, a lot of what I do is coaching, believe it or not, the two co-founders, right? To break down some of their barriers. It's because it's like, if you guys knew everything, you know, you wouldn't be 10 years in and kind of having flatlined on revenue for the last several years, right? If you knew everything, that wouldn't be the case. So let me help you, you know, help me help you. And let's get after this in some new and creative ways. And one thing I really harped on, which I'm excited about because it's coming up here in a couple weeks, we're going to have our first ever kickoff, not only kickoff, it's going to be a sales focused kickoff, obviously, but it's going to be a kickoff for the company. And even though this is a small company, I think it's, and this goes for any company out there or organization, no matter if you're a solopreneur startup or if you're a large Fortune 500 company, having an event where you can get people together, or even if it's just you and you're a startup and it's just you, maybe you pull in some outside resources or partners, and you dedicate that day or a couple of days and you say, let me reflect on last year. Let's look out into this year. What are we going to do? How are we going to achieve our goals? And so we're doing one of those out here in a couple weeks in Newport Beach. Nice venue at Fashion Island, which any West Coasters, you know, that's a really prestigious, you know, area down here in Orange County. And, you know, flying a couple of the sales guys out from East Coast and, you know, all over the country. Going to get everyone together, right? We're going to do, you know, 2 days. So half day, first day, full day, second day, half day, third day of training and team building and all the right exercises to catalyze a 2019 to remember, right? And so I'm stoked about that, right? Because it takes me back to some of the things I used to do, you know, within Cisco. And if you look at any of the great organizations, they don't just do these activities for shits and giggles. They do them because they're necessary. There's something about human psychology that drives behavior that says, when I'm in the presence of other people and we are unifying around a goal together, it's going to yield greater results.
Right.
So I'm particularly excited about that, Bruce, and that'll be here at the kind of the third, almost last week of the month here, the 23rd through the 25th is when we're going to be doing that. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And I think you too mentioned you had some, you had an interesting project come up recently too, correct?
Yeah. But and I do want to get to that, but I want to underscore a couple of, or at least one thing about what you just said about being a 1099. And what that does is that gives you license. And I'm in a similar position in my business as well, in my interface with companies and such as that, is that, man, it gives me the license to say whatever I want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they might not renew the, they might fire me on the spot, but I'm not saying this because I'm trying to preserve, or necessarily preserve my role in the company. I'm not trying to promote within the company. I don't have my eyes on anybody else's position in the company. You know what I mean? I'm there to, as a very, very strong assist to help the company, move forward. And so, and I know you are too, but boy, when you're coming at it through that independent contractor lens versus the salaried, you know, lens, and to me anyway, it leads to more independence, a freer mindset, and an ability to move about the building, you know, freer.
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive, and I, now that you mentioned, I want to underscore a couple other things around this, which
yeah,
is,
let's do that.
The truth of the matter is I could have gone either way. In fact, they asked me, you know, well, so, you know, W-2 1099. And it took me a minute to sort of resonate with why, what decision and why. Right. But put simply, when you come in as a 1099, as you said, you have freer voice to say what you want. I don't want to think to do what you want necessarily, but it's not, they don't manage you. If you're 1099, they see me as a partner. That's the biggest thing. And that was the relationship that I knew for this project that I would need in order to be successful. I couldn't be reporting to, you know, a leader or two that wanted readouts on this or that. I needed autonomy to go do what I needed to do with the least amount of resistance as possible. But with the support of the executives as a true partner. And that's what's actually given me. So for those of you out there that might be coaches, right, or consultants for that matter, and you're presented with these kind of longer term or larger contract opportunities, and you're wondering, you know, I'd say in general, you're always best off to go in the 1099 direction. I'm obviously a fan of it, and I think Bruce probably is too. But there's a lot of psychology, you know, dictates that if I'm a 1099 and we're talking about strategic initiatives together, you're going to see me as a valuable input, a consultant, a this or that. If I'm a W-2, you're always going to see me as an employee, and you're always going to view your voice as a stronger weight than mine. That's just human behavior, human psychology.
Nice. Boy, that was a nice education talk point, man, for our listeners and for me too, man. Just, it's so nice to look in that younger mirror and say, yeah, man, that's the value between that. I mean, I can always fly the flag, you know, hey man, I'll be coming up on 60 in a few years. I'd be too old to convert into an XYZ position. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. You know, so it's right. Easy for me to fly the geriatric flag and promptly get out of a salary discussion. I totally get that. You know, I totally get that. I mean, when you're my age, do you want to be doing that? No, dude, I totally get that, Bruce. I totally get it. Anyway, but then again, for maybe $1 million a year, I would gladly, you know, maybe try us out. A 1-year contract.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I think most of us would.
Yeah, I could wake up early in the morning again, I think, for that kind of coin. But but seriously, so that was a good point there. Yeah, on my end, you know, it's just, gosh, it's just so good what we do, because it just, you know, once, you know, we're kind of rolling and we get exposure, and then we get other opportunities to work with other coaching clients, right? And it just so happens that I have a client that I stumbled into that has access to a lot of other companies. So in other words, it's more like a venture capital type situation that has basic control, I guess, over a lot of different companies. And if there's a situation in one of the companies that they're deeply invested in, and they are fearing that their investment is going south or whatever, they have a situation that needs a person like me to go in there, then I kind of go in there and work with the person or persons to bring that company back to sanity, or that part of the company back into sanity. Because the investors, man, they get nervous. You know, they get nervous if there's wounded people in the C-suite, and you get more than one that can synergize. And brother, I can send the company down to the shitter fat. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Pretty quick. Or if you lose if that company loses some of its, you know, bigger clients, you know, the repercussions from that are huge. You know what I mean? And what a shame that would be for company X to lose a huge engagement because of some sort of a pissing contest or a substance abuse issue or something, a Me Too situation or something that can be addressed.
Misery loves company, right? I mean, it's one of the oldest rules out there, and it goes in any context, personally or professionally or corporately, you name it. And it's interesting to find those opportunities where you can sort of evangelize, you know, in a positive light, because it's necessary. That sounds like a cool one, man. Like, so when did you, and how did you sort of come about with that that opportunity?
You know, it was somebody that I had worked with at another venue and said, hey, have you thought about doing something for these guys over here, and do you have time for it? And I was like, absolutely. And I'm a 1099er. I have time. And then I had the discussion, and then you know, I think one of the key selling points was I was really able to tell the investors and the venture capital guys how I want to say the word fucking broken the EAP system is. You know what I mean? You just cannot have these people call Brittany, who's 23 years old and just graduated with a mail order master's degree, who's the intake person for it. You know, how can I help you with your life struggles today? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like,
no.
Or God forbid, you know, somebody from another country and they don't even understand. It's like the Dish Network tech support, you know, like,
oh man,
for suicide, please hold. Like, what? You know, what do you mean you put somebody on hold if they're suicidal? I mean, that's happened, bro. That has happened, Justin, literally with a large EAP company. They put somebody on hold that was suicidal, and the company I was working with just absolutely, and I'm just like, see, you know what I mean? You hire somebody like myself, or myself and a couple of the trusty dusty, you know, subs, we can be there, you know, wheels up in 20. We will be there. We will answer the phone. We will deliver the goods. We are there for you. That's why you pay the retainer or the contract fee or whatever, because we are there for you when you need us. Literally, virtually, almost around the clock support. I mean, rarely do we need it, but sometimes when these guys go to Dubai or whatever, it gets a little sketchy, you know, time zone wise. And
yeah,
in India and Dubai, it's almost like a double day. But so yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part about where coaching and some of the aspects of, I don't want to say mental health care, and man, I'm not doing that at all. I'm literally coaching people out of some behavioral problems. You know what I mean? So make no mistake about it. There's no medicine or nothing like that here being, there's no psychiatrist on my team at this moment. there's one. I always have my index finger perched over his and her number if I need them, but you know, for the consult. But so yeah, just another, you know, innovative way to be a coach and a contractor and get like 10 companies for one engagement if it's a VC firm like that. Awesome.
That's phenomenal. And you know, for all you coaches, consultants, aspiring coaches or consultants out there, I mean, tune into this. This is really where, as they say, the rubber meets the road, is finding those, and not only finding those, but executing on those opportunities when they're presented to you. And sometimes it really just comes down to, I'll tell you, the other piece of being on 1099 is having a 1099 type mindset. That's another shift, and I don't know how much.
That's your next book, Justin. That sounds like your next book, bro. We ought to write a book. The 1099 mindset, man. That'll sell, bro. I love that. That's our book, man. Here.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, man. That was
No. But hey, well, you gotta let me know. When I have those brilliant ideas every now and again, you gotta let me know, man. Sometimes
that was a good one.
Know.
We're gonna get Grant Cardone. We're gonna shut him down, man.
$10.99.
We're not gonna shut down Grant Cardone. We're kidding. We worship guys like that. But anyway, but seriously, but yeah, carry on. Well, so what is it about that mindset?
Well, just so sorry. Oh, now I forgot what I was gonna say.
I know, man. I can hear you clicking. You're typing over there. Chapter one.
The preface. You know. You know, it's a mindset shift, right? So, you know, again, when I moved into this world, the 1099 world, we'll call it. You know, it's a mindset that is attached to it, and if you don't have it, when you're trying to go into the 1099 world, guess what? That's what we like to call misalignment. So you can do it and you'll do all the activities and then you'll wonder why you're not successful. Well, you're not successful because you're not doing the right things. And, you know, I'll be honest, I've been at this for a while now, you know, going on six years. That's not like obviously as long as some other people maybe that are on the call with me. But, you know, as a younger guy, you know, that's still a pretty good amount of my professional career. Mm-hmm. And what I observed early on is I wasn't doing, I didn't have necessarily the right mindset right away, which is why maybe I didn't achieve the levels of success that I had always set out there for myself. Well, case in point, the deals or the opportunities aren't going to find you. They don't just pop up and grab you and bite you in the ass because one day you wake up and you say, I'm a 1099 and I'm going to start my own business, or I have my own business. They don't. In fact, that's just the beginning. Having a website, having a logo, having business cards, having an idea that maybe has monetization possibility is just the beginning. You really haven't even scratched the surface of starting yet. Scratching surface of starting is like, okay, what types of activities are you doing? And obviously I'm a sales focus, you know, individual and coach and consultant for that matter. So what type of activities are you doing from a business development perspective? Now, you, Bruce, you know, or folks that are a little bit more established, you know, you get a lot of referrals, right? As you do this longer and longer and you do a good job of referral marketing, you know, yourself, you don't have to do as much in the way of business development. But when you're starting out, holy shit, you better fucking believe it, right? And it's a different type of business development, too.
I'm with you. You're exactly right. And also, if you, I'm not gonna pick on you, but if you think about 6 years ago or what have you, your mindset was different. I mean, you're young now, and you were younger then. You might have had a different you might have had different expectations of the world, or you might have had a different notion of how the business world works, or how you thought it would work now that you're in this station, you know, but I mean, but to your credit, you never dilly-dallied or sat on your thumbs. I mean, you kind of got right on it, you know what I mean, in your own way, and you got right on it and did it and moved forward. And even with the entrepreneurship book and all that, you kind of, you know, you kind of got on with it. So, I mean, you know,
exactly.
kudos for that. But you're right. I mean, it's competitive out there. And look, you know, even though I might be a whole lot older and a little bit wiser in some respects, I mean, I'm still sleeping with one eye open. You know what I mean? I'm not resting on any laurels. There's not one, you know, whenever there's an opportunity that I can, you know what I mean, to meet and greet and make connections and network and see how I or others may be of value to somebody. I mean, that train keeps on roaring. And I think the 1099 mindset allows you for that, because you have to be the one that pays the bills. You're the one that's not, you know, there's no government shutdown. It's you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to deliver. You have to do this. You can't bitch about the boss. I guess you could, but you know what? If you're a 1099er, not the boss, but you could have a beef on your engagement, but guess what you can do? You can leave that engagement as a 1099 fairly effortlessly. So you can't really fly a victim stance. Not that you, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other people. I mean, you know what I mean? The other people that you and I are surrounded by or see, or actually whatever, some of the folks that don't, they get stuck. They're coaches that they themselves get stuck, you know, in some self-limiting behaviors, you know, when it pertains to their business model. Anyway, so yeah,
and you kind of reminded me. I have to share it now because, you know, I'm all fired up now. You got me all fired up.
Get you all fired up, man.
You know, so the mindset, it just has to ooze through your body. So that's why I'm so fired up. You know, in particular this week. Last week is a, not to make excuses, but it's a tough week. You know, you got the holidays and people's mindset, and sometimes you feel like you're pushing a boulder up a hill. And you can be the most jacked up, fired up, crazy, you know, mofo in the room, but if everyone else around you is saying, "Hey, I'm still in vacation mode," it still makes it somewhat tough. Again, that's also a self-limiting belief. So I'm gonna kind of show you a little bit of both sides of it. This week, there is literally, you know, so I hosted my call with, you know, this team this morning, as I do every Monday morning. There's literally no excuses anymore. If you wanted to say excuses about the holidays and this and that, this Monday marks the no excuse, no bullshit, you know, day of the new year, right? This is it. And so it was funny going back to the fall. I actually had to let a guy go. So I hired someone, thought he was a good fit, you know, for this position, for this project, this company I've been working with. And it just turned out to be, you know, I won't go into the details, but not a good fit, not well aligned, somewhat, you know, I would say unethical. And that's really where I sort of draw the line for sure. And some of his behaviors and what he was doing. And so I just kind of, you know, I had made the decision, and it'd been one thing leading to other, made the decision I was going to, you know, terminate him and let him go. And I called him up that day. I obviously had all the paperwork and everything ready to go in queue. So for any of those of you that have ever fired anyone, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, gave him the call to basically let him know that we're going to part ways. And he said to me, which I just can't ever let this one go, "Well, I thought my job was protected." I thought my job was protected. Oh, yeah. He said that to me. He said that to me, Bruce. Mind you, by the way, Texas, California, and, you know, 30 plus other of the states in the U.S. are at-will employment states, which means either the employer can end the relationship, or the employee for that matter, at any point in time for any given reason, right. And he lived in one of those states, and I was just flabbergasted by, like, you, I said, "And what made you think that, right? This is a sales position, you haven't produced sales results, and you thought your job was protected." I had never heard anything like it, but it reminded me, going back and tying it all back to kind of this subject at matter, the 1099 mindset, we'll call it, is that is the W-2 mindset. That's the difference between a W-2 and a 1099 mindset. And 1099 would say, you know what, it's upon me, or you've probably heard the adage, if it is to be, it's up to me, right?
Right.
If it is to be, it's up to me. A W-2 believes that the universe, the environment, their finances, everything else affects them and their performance or their outcome. So when you can get over that and you can just really lock in, and this goes for everything, you could say, I mean, tomorrow the stock market could crash, right? And in a true 1099er would have already hedged their bets, would already have stuff in queue that hedges their bets with maybe industries that are somewhat insulated by the stock market, let's say, and be ready when that comes. The W-2 person would be like, oh, I'm fucked. And right. They wouldn't know what to do. So, yeah, it just, that was an interesting story and kind of something I thought would be appropriate for this whole discussion around 1099 mindset.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting, particularly in the context of that person you were speaking of was in a startup, you know what I mean, where it is kind of every dollar for itself, every man and woman for themselves a little bit there, you know what I mean, as that company. I thought my job was protected. But anyway, that is, again, and that's that person's worldview, you know what I mean? That's that person's view of what's going on here. That's what they're thinking, you know, And how interesting is that, that there's somebody who's actually thinking that in this kind of carnivorous context, like, no, you didn't produce. You just didn't produce. You're out of here. You know? Wow. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Hey, so I just want to make sure that we're not putting anybody under the bus. I've worked for employees in the big financial firm, you know, I worked with clients in the Ernst & Young and Arthur Anderson, you know, all those guys, the Lloyds. I mean, a lot of those are high, super high functioning W-2 folks. There's a lot of super high functioning W-2 folks that act like entrepreneurs inside the context of their company. So, you know, the CEOs, some of the, you know, C-suite folks that are hard chargers. So obviously, right. But they're kind of entrepreneurs. But even still, they're still kind of caught, and they're caught inside of a corporate structure, and their hands are still tied, even though, right? Even though it's a fancy position, and there's some fancy money and some great benefits and some good payouts and stuff, but that element of that frustration and that either codependence or interdependence, and just, you know what I mean? You just can't shake off all these other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. No. And I appreciate, you know, you bringing it back and putting a little disclaimer out there. So our
ass was
covered.
A little one. No. Hey, look, and I was in the Justice Department. I was that guy. Government shut down, but you know, it's interesting. I would, you know what I did, Justin? I was trained as I did U.S. Marshal escorts, hospital trips, all kinds of other duties that when these furloughs would happen, I could just say, well, I'm just going to be the highest paid prison guard, or I'm going to be the highest paid babysitter in the hospital, and some poor inmates chained to a bed or whatever. And I'm, you know, drinking hot chocolate and reading the newspaper back in the day when we had newspapers anyway. And, anyhow, long story short, you know what I mean? Just gotta be prepared for the consequences. That's one good thing. You know, you can do whatever you want to do in this world as long as you can handle the consequences for what you're doing.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah. But don't go in there thinking that you have an entitlement or a handout, or it's always going to be wine and roses, because it's never going to be. And there's always going to be a price somewhere. All right. Go ahead.
No, there always will be, you know, the price to pay, or as I like to say, there's always a price to pay to get paid.
For sure.
It's how far you're willing to go. I was just going to, you know, kind of ask in that similar vein, right? We're talking about mindset. We're talking about, you know, kind of 1099 versus W-2 and also 2019, right? You know, goals, right? Having a certain mindset about yourself when you're setting your goals. And, you know, it's another reason I love this time of year, the reflection piece and then the forward looking piece of it. And then obviously just crushing my goals. You know, have you, I'm sure you have taken some time to do so. And, you know, any goals in particular that you wouldn't mind sharing with myself and some of the listeners out there?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So sure. What I did was, I started, this is kind of weird, but I get my planner, and this took about 2 days to do. And I went through nearly every day in 2018. And I started with New Year's Eve and went backwards every day. And I looked at every day during the past year, and I just took some freehanded notes, you know? It was things I need to learn, people I need to connect with, projects undone. Those are pretty much the three flavors. I'm not trying, and I went through, things I need to learn, people I need to connect with, and, finish up on certain things that might be undone. So, after going through that exercise, and I went through some, all I did was I went through some short-term goals, short-term goals for everything. I did not do any long-term goals at this time, right? It's still, what is it today? The 7th. So, yeah. So all I did was these short-term goals in terms of, okay, I need to learn these one or two things, read these one or two books, reduce caloric intake of gluten, sugar, and carbohydrates by this much. So all I did was really just kind of hunker down on some solid, forward focusing short-term goals. And the reason why I did this, and I'm not saying this is good for everybody, but it's good for me. One, it keeps my focus, right? Two, I don't get lost in some sort of big picture that may or may not be real. And three, just, I'm kind of busy right now, if that makes any sense. And it just kind of keeps me going. Now, if I get to the point where I'm not as busy, then I start doing longer range vision casting. But if I'm in the moment and I'm blowing and going and chugging and puffing and, churning and burning, then I am absolutely going to have a goal structure that mirrors where I'm going to be at my station in life for the next week, 2 weeks, or a month. So, and then lastly, and you know this, Justin, I know our listeners do too, is that that goal setting, it never stops, right? It's just the end of every week. You're looking, we have lists. Those lists are goals. You know what I mean? A to-do list is a goal sheet, of sorts. So yeah, that's what I can share at this time.
Yeah.
Seems that's relevant.
Yeah. It's very similar to how I kind of approach, the goal setting process. For me, my big hairy goals, I like to put into buckets, or I actually draw them into rings now, into circles, like kind of intersecting rings, sort of your health and health, business, finance related, relational related, and then kind of your other ones, right? And I try to put, two to three, no more than five, into each sort of quadrant or again ring within each of those buckets. And that's how I approach sort of the big. So you have your 50,000 foot, big goals for the year, right? So you might have a financial goal of, I want to, make a gazillion dollars this year, right? Which isn't a good goal to set, by the way, because it's not specific, or, I guess it'd be time bound, but it's not specific. You might say, I want to make, $500 million this year. Okay, great. So $500 million post-tax, pretend, you could even get more specific than that. Business related, want to sign up or develop 10, new relationships that convert into clients, right, by the end of 2019. Yeah. So I break it in that, because I used to anchor down for whatever reason into one area or the other, and I found myself leaving other areas untended to. So as I went through some of the Tony Robbins trainings back in the day, you know, he really emphasized the wheels of life, right? And he divides it into seven areas or seven wheels of life. And I took that and kind of adapted it into my own version. And it's been extremely helpful to create a more well-rounded life, right? Because you can't just focus 100% of your effort in your business or finances or whatever and expect your relationships to thrive. You need to, you know, invest it everywhere. Kind of spread, or in football terms, spread the ball around the field.
Right. Absolutely. So, no, it sounds like a good plan. And look, I need to have some long range goals, but you know, I'd like to think that what I'm doing is in furtherance of right, a good solid long range goal. So, and it is. If the work continues, the work is good, that gets more references and recommendations and more experiences, and then also, you know, just another it could be another step on a ladder, you know what I mean? As soon as like, wow, okay, I've done this at this level. Maybe I should look at the next level. What's the next level of, you know, it's one thing to be somebody's life coach and have a caseload of 5 or 10 or 20 life coaching clients, and another to be right working for a venture capital firm with 10 or companies with a crap ton of employees in each company. You know what I mean? So it's as a huge level adjustment in terms of the scope, how I see my scope and what I do and what I can do. So anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes on from there, right? I mean, you can build it. And to your point, it's either the kind of the foundation or the umbrella goal, or it's a milestone goal, a stepping stone type of goal that's going to get you to those bigger, hairier goals, if you will.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone out there, or not even hopefully, I'm just going to state it directly, you know, if you haven't done at least your first version, and by the way, I take time to do a couple of versions. So I do a sort of a first pass, second pass, at least at the initial goals for the year myself. Some might just do one pass and that's fine too. But if you haven't at least done the first pass, definitely time to do so.
Right. And if you don't write it down, it won't happen. If you don't, right, just write it down and take some action steps toward that goal, whatever it is, man, losing 1 pound, making one extra dollar, you know what I mean? Write it down, man, and then apply some effort toward, and you can get there. So anyway, I love this time of year on LinkedIn, all these other, you know, inspirational coach types and whatever.
Yeah.
I said, you know, remind me to shoot me myself if I ever have that much time to do that.
Right?
I mean, there's something wrong with my business if I'm on LinkedIn every day giving a video to people. I there's got to be something wrong. I shouldn't say that was mean. You know what I'm talking
about?
Well,
no,
though?
But it's active versus passive. Yes, and the people that are, Naomi actually said something up recently. She was calling out some of her boss babe girlfriends who don't have enough time to post on Instagram, which I loved. I was so kind of out of the box for her because, you know, she's got a bit of a following and a lot of the people she interacts with do too. But I thought it was kind of interesting. It's like, yeah, in reality, some of people have a following because they're legit, and some people do because they've got too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just, yeah. So it's a, anyway, but no, folks, just, you know, you can do it. That's a good thing about the country in which we live, man. If you can think it and you can believe in yourself and you can take some meaningful action towards your goals, you can do it. And you can actually reach some goals and just feel better about yourself. That's what we're created to do. We're created to work. We're not created to sit on our butts. We're created to do something for somebody and for others. And if you can do that, you'll feel better and you'll just be honestly a better person.
Absolutely. So, good stuff today, Brucey.
All right, man. We're fired up today, man. We gotta roll screenless more often, man. Probably one of our better shows. But well, good. Well, folks, Yep, another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show. And don't forget to see us on Instagram on The Concierge Coaches, our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach out to you?
Yeah, they can reach me by my website, Nimergood, N-I-M as in Mary, E-R-G-O-O-D.com. It's just my last name.com. That's where you can find all the information on me as well. So, and also, Bruce, just to call out as well, we do have a, now, as much as we were just making fun of it, we do have a LinkedIn page.
We do.
As well. So
it's very much in its infancy. So please come by and try to find it and do something, like it, join us. And we are finally on LinkedIn. So sure enough, but we will not be promoting videos every day on LinkedIn.
No,
we will not be doing that. It will just be our the little presence that could on LinkedIn. So, all right then. Well, with that, I guess we'll wrap it up, and everybody have a great week. And we'll see everybody here on LA Talk Radio next week for another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.